Today the Lord wants to invite all of us to be promoted to a higher level into the plans of God. Sometimes we're so busy praying about what we're seeing down here, but today God is inviting us to pray from up there for what He sees.
Amen.
Now, some of you will remember that we used to meet at Maple Grove in Craig's Hill, and we had arranged a couple of 24-hour prayer sessions. We had 24-hour, and people would sign up to come for an hour, spend an hour in the church praying, someone else would come in. And when I was actually the organizer of that event, and what I did was I put lots of posters and different props up on the walls all the way around the whole hall. So when people walked into the hall place was completely different from what it normally was. And there were different information and prayer stations, like a station to go and pray for the government, a place to go and pray for the schools, etc. And at the door, there was a poster, and there was all the information about Israel and pray for Jerusalem. Well, one of the things that really stood out during that 24 hour was Wilma and Kirsten signed up for an hour. Ladies, you know Wilma and Kirsten? Yeah? Kirsten is profoundly deaf. She doesn't hear anything. She lip reads. But she sees in the spirit. They came towards the end of their 1 hour. They had walked around. And then suddenly, Kirsten is like, whoa, wait, Mum, wait. And she said, there's two angels here. There's two angels standing by the back door. And they're saying, pray for Jerusalem. So God sent two angels into our church with a message. Because Kirsten's ministry is the ministering of angels. She sees things in the spirit that most of us don't see. She hears, although she has no hearing in the natural, but she hears in the spirit. So God sent two angels into our church, our ordinary church, to say, pray for Jerusalem. Now there were lots of prayer stations, but there was one thing on God's heart. Pray for Jerusalem. And today, I want to speak about the Isaiah 62 Global Fasting and Prayer event that is starting today. Because God is doing something. God is doing something now at a global level. Are you listening?
Yes.
God is doing something at the global level that has never happened before. Ever. This is really significant. The scripture tells us that we need to understand the times we live in. Remember in the Old Testament, it talks about the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times. And in the New Testament, Jesus rebukes his generation for not discerning the times. And Paul writes, we can look it up, Victor, Romans 13, 11 and 12. Do this. Understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So God is saying, wake up, all over to us, all of us. Because to one degree or other, we are slumbering. What is slumbering? We are praying down here. Oh Lord, can you heal this big toe today? God has got a bigger picture for us to step into. A bigger picture from His perspective. So we put on the armor of light. So there's this initiative that got started. It started off, and initially they said, okay, we'll get 1 million believers. Well, by now, it's already 5 million believers. Whoa. Isn't that exciting? There are 5 million known believers, but I know, of course, there's even more. The thing about the kingdom of God is, remember the prophet said, I'm the only one left, poor me, and the Lord is going, ha ha, look at another 7,000. We always underestimate what God has. God always has so much more. So there's 5 million who will engage in prayer and fasting for Israel for at least 1 hour a day for the next 21 days, starting today. When I read this and heard this, my spirit really got excited. Because this is God doing something. It's not like a man or a woman started to organize this. It was just a little group that started to organize. And then another group said, that's a good idea, we'll do this. Before you knew, there was like over 1,000 ministries all signing up to the same thing. And now it's just snowballed. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now we have these millions and millions of Christians all around the world, all saying, I'm going to pray every day for the next 21 days for Israel, for Jerusalem. Why? Because God commands that. Has never happened before. Yes, there's been people in little pockets of Christians praying, but this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Some will pray alone, others will pray the twos or more. Some will do it at the home, some will meet in person, some will be in the office, some will be on Zoom. It does not matter. Whichever way that we are. One of the things to pray for is to ask God to raise up 100 million intercessors for Israel. 100 million intercessors for Israel. Whoa, that's exciting, isn't it? God can do that. God can do that. God has got so many more intercessors than we even know about. To pray, because the Bible tells us to do so. It's all based on Isaiah 62, so it's called Isaiah 62. Global Day of Fast and Prayer. But let's look at Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. These are really the key scriptures for this. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest and give him no rest. Till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Different translation uses slightly different words. Some translation talks about that God has set, God has appointed, God has marked intercessors to pray for Jerusalem. And some of the translation says, and give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth at Jesus' return. You know, when we pray for Jerusalem and for Israel, we are praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. We are praying for Jesus to come back. Jesus came the first time, but he says, I'm coming back. Where is he coming back to? He's coming back to Israel, to Jerusalem. He's coming back. Remember when the disciples saw Jesus leave? The angel said, what are you looking at? What are you? He says, don't you know he's coming back the way he came? He's going to come back. The Lord is going to come back. So we pray. Why? Because the Bible teaches us, what are all the milestones? What's the critical path before Jesus can come back? What's the critical path? What's got to be happening first? Yeah?
Like Lucifer comes back or something like that?
Well, yeah. I'm really thinking about what God says about Israel here. Because Israel is God's timetable when we look at Israel.
Is it when there's a talk of peace?
Yes, yes, amen.
Amen.
So we've got this, we're now, today, the first day of this historical biblical event. I believe it was prophesied in Psalm 102. If you go to Psalm 102, verse 13 says, "You will have mercy on Zion," which is Jerusalem, "the time to favor her. Yeah, the set time has come." And if you go down to verse 18, it says, "This will be written for the generation to come, that the people yet to be created may praise the Lord." It's just like in this psalm, it's predicting that there will be a time where a generation that was still not created at the point when this psalm was written, and it's saying there will be a time where these people will come together from around the world and they will pray for Israel. It's a global Esther moment for such a time as this. I think it's exciting. Now, you can take part in this. It's whatever level. You are God's people. You know how to pray. So, for the next 21 days, why don't you have Israel on your heart? Why don't you change your prayer habit? Switch out what's on your heart from what's on God's heart. You can do it at whatever level. I said to Melvin, I said, "How do we pray for Israel for a whole hour? You know, like, do we run out of things to pray for?" Well, we're Pentecostal, so we can shala klika stakariana. We can pray in the Spirit. And that's easy to do for an hour, but to pray with the understanding for an hour, do we run out of things? And of course, we went to the conference. God gave me the answer. It's time to weep before the Lord. When we pray, let's receive the burden of the Lord for Jerusalem and weep before the Lord. Let's take the time to weep, to groan in the Spirit. It's not always words. You can feel, when you open yourself up for the Lord, you can feel the burden that He has for His people. Let's do that. Let's do that. We must remember that Israel is still the apple of God's eye. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32, verses 9 to 11. "For the Lord's portion is His people, Jacob, His allotted inheritance. In a desert land He found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of His eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft." This is talking about Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Let's not forget that God became a man. He came. God came as a man. Where did He pick to come? How did He pick to come? How did He choose to come? He chose to come as a Jew. Jesus is Jewish forever. Don't you think His heart is breaking for His own people? Don't you think His heart is breaking for them? He's inviting us over the next 21 days to change our heart to beat like His heart beats for His people. Let's have and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the compassion of Jesus into our heart as we pray for Jerusalem. You can do this. I can do this. Psalm 102, verses 13 to 14. "You will arise and have compassion on Zion." Zion means Israel, means Jerusalem. "For it's time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. For her stones are dear to your servants. Her dust, her very dust, moves them to pity." So as we pray for Jerusalem, let's be very conscious not to have condemnation in our heart for the Jewish people. Don't let's not walk around and say, ah, oh, they shouldn't have done this. Look what they're doing. If we look, this is a spiritual thing, my friend. Yes, if you look at the land of Israel, there's a lot of things, there's corruption there like everywhere else, and there's a lot of sinful people. But don't look at that. Don't look at that. Let's have the compassion of the Lord in our hearts. Who are we to say? Who are we to say? If it wasn't for the Jewish people, we would not even be saved today. We got saved because we were grafted in. We got saved because of the Jewish nation. Let's not forget. Let's have the compassion of the Lord in our heart as we pray and intercede for them. Don't look in the natural and how sinful something is. Look at the grace of God and the price that's been paid. Look at the heart of God and allow that to come in. If you go back to Isaiah 62 again, because that's the main scripture, it says there, give yourself no rest and give him no rest. This is not about what is convenient. This is about what's a priority. This is a priority. The scripture says we are seated together with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. And as we are listening to the plans of the Father, this is a priority. You know, when you're in an army, you don't set your own priorities, do you? When you're at war, you don't set your own priorities. It comes from the top. We are in God's army. We take direction from the Father. This is a priority. This is a priority. So put aside everything else. The feeling is inconvenient. I'm too tired. You can do this wherever you are. You can do this when you're sitting on the bus, when you're standing in the shower, when you're feeding the kids and you're cleaning the carpet. You can do this. Because it's a hard thing. You can do this while you're doing your work. You can do this as you're on your coffee break and you're on your way to the coffee machine. Lord, bless Jerusalem this day. Lord, bring the Jewish nation to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. You can do it. You can pray. Give yourself no rest for the next 21 days. Let us not give ourselves rest, and let us not give him rest. See, the Lord is challenging us to remind him of his promises till he establishes Jerusalem. This is a command from the Lord. You who call on the Lord means those that who pray. God works through us. Isn't that so amazing? We want to see the nation saved. Paul, who was apostle to the Gentile, what did he say about the Jewish nation? Let's look at that in Romans 9, verses 2 to 4. This is Paul speaking. Listen to his heart. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Whoa. Would you give up your salvation for your people? This is what Paul is saying. Anguish of heart. He felt the heartbeat of heaven. His mission was to the Gentiles, but he had a heart for his own people. Anguish of heart. This is how we intercede. This is going beyond just praying. This is interceding, where you allow your heart to beat with the heart of heaven. But the Father is looking to save his people. Paul said that his ministry would be magnified amongst the Gentiles, and I'm going to provoke the Jews. about the heart of God. God's love is the highest when we are the furthest away. When the Jews are the furthest away, God's love for them are the highest. It's not about the nation of Israel is so wonderful. It's not about that. Do you know what it's about? It's about the faithfulness of God. It is because God is faithful. So that's why we don't focus on the natural things and get discouraged about that. God is faithful. If God wasn't faithful, there would be no hope for our own nations. We would be totally lost. Look at this nation that we live in. We are in desperate, desperate need. If you look at the nation of Great Britain, the intercessors will have seen some of the notes that we sent out because of the coronation and everything, because we are at a point in this nation where we have the leaders of the nation, Scotland, United Kingdom, the Mayor of London, we've all got people that do not confess Jesus Christ as Lord, but confess a different faith. Another route to God. And then we have now new royalty that desire to bring in multiple faith. And then we have the state church in England compromising on the word of God when it comes to marriage. So the free cords. This is a really serious situation that we find for Great Britain. And the scripture does tell us that we must pray for our own cities. Yes. But for the next 21 days, let's also really pray for Jerusalem and for Israel, because this is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. There's just two cities scripture commands us to pray for, your own and Jerusalem. If you read it in scripture, you'll find that it's a commandment. It's not optional. It's a commandment. It might look like God has forsaken Israel, but that's not the case. Zechariah 8:2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. Not our will, but God's will. God is so jealous for Israel. God is into Israel. It's because he chose Israel. God chose that land. God chose those people. God became Jewish forever. And we, the ecclesia, we have a role to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Romans 11:11. I ask. Did they stumble, talking about the Jews, so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. We have to make them envious. We were grafted in, but because of the relationship that we have with Jehovah, we will make them jealous. Melvin and I have been to Israel twice. The last time we went, it was just really amazing. Many of you will probably have been. It's amazing to go and see the place. We were traveling back, and so we were waiting in the airport to catch the flight back to Gatwick. And then I got onto the plane, I sat down, and I was sitting here, but Melvin was on the other side of the aisle, and I sat beside this lovely Jewish lady. And we just got chatting, and she's asking me what we had been doing in Israel and Jerusalem. So I told her that we were Christian leaders, and we'd been, and we wanted to see the Holy Land, and we wanted to come. And she's listening, and I could see such surprise in her whole countenance. Because as I was talking, I think she was starting to sense we were for Israel. She was so shocked, because remember, the Jewish nation have always been the ones that are being blamed for everything. They've always been persecuted. All their lives they've been persecuted. Their parents and their parents' parents, generation after generation after generation. And I'm telling her, no, we're on your side. We support Israel. We believe in Israel. We are praying for your land. We are praying for Jerusalem. She's like, wow. So she was surprised at that. I was surprised when I spoke to her, because I thought that she would know that the reason the Christians go to visit Israel is because of Jesus. She knew nothing. Nothing. I'm trying to explain the gospel to her. It's like she's never heard anything. I'm totally shocked. When we arrived at Gatwick, we had a nice talk. We talked about lots of things that were happening in the world. And we arrived at Gatwick. I'm standing there. We're waiting on the suitcases. And then she comes over. She came over. She hugged me. And she said, thank you for standing with Israel. Sometimes we forget. Nobody, I don't think she'd ever heard about Jesus. She knew nothing. Nothing. I thought she knows even less than people from her own country. She's born in Israel. How could she not know that we all come because of Jesus? How could she not know? You see? We must provoke. The ecclesia must provoke the Jews to jealousy. Why? It's the same Heavenly Father. You must provoke them to jealousy. This is in the Word of God. And we are commanded to pray for Jerusalem, to see the bigger picture. Jesus has won the authority at His first coming. At His second coming, when He comes back, He will reign and rule from Jerusalem, a real place, a real man, a real rule. This is not a spiritual metaphor of some kind. This is real. It is real. Jesus is coming back. He will rule forever and ever and ever. Every eye will see Him. Glory. But before He comes, the Jews have to come in. The Jews have to come in. How will they come in? We pray. And we provoke them to jealousy because of the relationship we have for the Lord and because of the love that we have for His people, because His love comes in into our hearts. Psalm 132 from verse 11. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath. He will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His dwelling, saying, this is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it.
Amen.
Have you read the end of the book? If you go to the end of Revelation chapter 22, if you go to the end, new heaven and new earth, what comes down from heaven? Is it a new New York or a new Beijing or a new London? No. That's all gone. It's a new Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. That is why. Don't you know when you open up and read the news and all the fighting is all about Jerusalem? Because this is where the Lord comes back. This is where the Lord will reign from. The whole world centers around Jerusalem, God's place. That's why Israel has got so many enemies. Because the enemy doesn't want the Lord to come back and reign. Because that's his end. That's his end. Jerusalem, God has decided it. And he said, this is where my throne will be, praise God. History reflects this promise. There was a time in history when Spain was very supportive of all the Jews. And so Spain rose up and was a mighty power in the world. Then they turned and went the other way, and Spain diminished. There was a time when the UK, Great Britain, why was it called great? Because it was very great, and supported the Jews. Things turned, it's going down. And now we're seeing a similar thing for the US, aren't we? Now we're seeing the same thing. Hallelujah. Jesus will reign from Jerusalem, Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. When his kingdom comes, hallelujah, so glorious. If you want revival, pray for Jerusalem. Because when you pray for Jerusalem, you pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. For Jesus to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. He's not coming back to rule until the Jews are saved. Until the Jews come and embrace him. So let's really pray and intercede. We are the preachers to the Jews. Pray that the spiritual blindness will come off them. Romans 11:15. For if their rejection, this is talking about the Jews rejecting Jesus, if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, which it did, we became saved. We came into the kingdom because the Jews rejected Jesus. We got in. And said, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So when the Jews receive their Messiah, finally, it will be eternal life. It will bring life. The whole world will get out of prison when they accept Messiah. So let's pray for their salvation. He is going to come back. It depends on their heart's response. In Acts chapter 3, Melvin does some teaching on this. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter was preaching to the Jews, pleading with them to say yes to Jesus, he was saying to them that Jesus will come back if you receive him. The Lord's given you a second chance, but they still didn't do it. But Peter actually expected them to turn their heart and that the Lord would have come back then. Here we are, 2,000 years later. But now, starting today, we've got 5 million intercessors praying. Let's be part of it. Come on, let's pray for Jerusalem. Now I'm just going to do a couple of little ideas as you pray, things that you can pray for. But the Holy Spirit will lead you. But these are just some ideas that could be helpful. Pray for restoration and reconciliation, that the Jewish people will be reconciled to God through the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah, that God will continue to restore the land of Israel, and that the nation will recognize that this is from the hand of the Lord. It is not because they are so smart, it's because God's hand is on them, that they will recognize that. Pray for reconciliation between the Jewish and the Christians, the Jews and the Arab, and everyone around, all the Jews around the world. It's important that we pray for all nations. God loves the Arabs. God loves the Palestinians. God wants all people to come. Don't misunderstand that this means only Jews. No. All people. I want to be really clear on that. Pray that God will raise up these watchmen in each nation of the world dedicated to pray for Israel and the Jewish people, for houses of prayer, for strategic prayer to go up. We are looking for 100 million intercessors. Praise God. Pray for the peace and protection of Israel. Remember that Jerusalem is God's place and the enemy is constantly aggravating nations to come against Israel. So we need to pray for guidance and wisdom for Israel and for the world leaders to pursue peace for Israel, for the protection for the plans of Israel's spiritual and natural enemies, that true peace which only comes from God. Let's pray that God will expose all the terror plots and stop them, because there's a lot of hatred against God's people, but God can expose it. Pray that the terror groups themselves will be disintegrated and that they will encounter the true living God. Pray for the Israeli police, the military, the security forces, as they try to stop the violence. Pray for emotional, psychological, and physical healing for all the victims of terrorism. Pray for the media. This is actually a big one. The media in the West is very biased. Very biased. Pray for clarity for the media to report fully and accurately about Israel today and the Middle East, and expose of the imbalanced reporting, which is, and all the misconceptions. Pray against the anti-Semitism, exposure of anti-Semitism wherever that happens, and that believers throughout the world will stand up and speak up against anti-Semitism and defend the Jewish people. Like I said when I sat beside that woman in the plane, it's only on reflection I realised how she didn't expect a person from the West to be on supportive on them, because they've constantly been told, this has been all through the history, everybody's against us. No wonder they feel the way that they do. So let's really pray for that. And let's pray that all Christians would speak up. Speak up and stand with the Jewish people. Pray for Israel's leaders. Pray for wisdom and integrity for all their leaders, including the Prime Minister Netanyahu, for the members of the Knesset, which is their government, for the Israeli Defense Forces. Pray for God's guidance on how to address the relationship that arises between all the different nations, with the Palestinians, their neighbors, the Arabs, Iran, and all the countries that have radical ideas to push Israel right out to the sea. Pray that they will get wisdom. God can give wisdom. He always does. Pray for the needy and the forgotten and the vulnerable, for the broken, including the elderly Holocaust survivors, struggling immigrants and the homeless. Pray for aid for the forgotten and the overlooked and the misguided. Pray for strong alliances between key nations and Israel. We need to pray for the alliance between the US and Israel, but also we should pray that for our own nation, that there will be a recognition of Israel. It's so hurtful, isn't it, when we hear that our own nations are voting against Israel. As believers, it just breaks our heart. So these are just some ideas what to pray for as you pray for Israel during these 21 days. I'm just going to, very quickly, I know time is going, I'm just going to very quickly remind you about the things that God has already fulfilled from Scripture when it comes to Israel, because Israel is an amazing supernatural phenomenon, that what God has done. The first thing is, God has returned Jews from all around the world. Half of the world's Jews have now returned and live in Israel. This could be considered, think about this, I would say this could be a bigger miracle than when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. Because when he took them out of Egypt, they were all together in one nation and they crossed over. But now, They had been there for, what, 200 years of slavery, or maybe hundreds of years. But we're now talking about after 2,000 years coming back from over 100 different countries. That is truly a miracle that we've seen in a lifetime. Israel becoming a nation, half of the Jews coming back, that is a miracle. When the Jews were taken out of Egypt and went back, when Moses led them back, they were all together and they all spoke the same language. But 2,000 years later, when God takes his people back into Israel, they came back speaking hundreds of different languages. They didn't speak the same language. They didn't. Even the man who God used to bring up the idea of creating Israel didn't think it was possible for the Hebrew language to become a spoken language. Because when God sent the Jews back at that time, Hebrew was not the spoken language they would use in their homes and speak to their children about. Yes, it was a written language and for the Torah, and it was the scholarship language, but it was not a written language. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. The language to be resurrected after 2,000 years. Another miracle is today there's more people studying the Torah than ever before in all of Israel's history. But you don't get that news on the BBC. They don't talk about that. But that is a miracle. In 1867, Mark Twain famously described the land as desolate, repulsive, dreary, with hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. That is the way the land was until the Jews came back. The land was waiting on God's people. And then when God's people came back, God gave them Jews, all these innovations. And now they have planted more than 250 million trees. The only nation in the whole world that's got more trees now than 100 years ago. Isn't that amazing? What a God we have. The population has increased 10 times since 1948. The economy has grown 40 times. Israel's GDP surpasses that of Britain. Whoa, amazing. Cows. Do you know cows are important to God? Well, it talks about the land of milk and honey, doesn't it? How are you going to get milk if you don't have cows? Well, let's just find this really interesting. An Israeli cow will produce 12,000 litres of milk per year, the highest of all cows in the whole world, in Israel. Hey, it's in the Bible. What can you do? Holland and Denmark, eat your heart out. It's in the Bible. You can't argue. This is the God that we have. Global advancement in science, medicine, agriculture, high tech, Nobel Prize winners. So many of them, all from Israel. Israel is called the start of nations. Why? Because we go back to Isaiah 62. Rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. God is making Israel the praise of the earth. The innovations that they have. The solution to how to grow in the desert. How to change seawater into drinking water. All of these ideas and all the medicine all come out of Israel. Hey, Manish was smart. He went and got a job with them. He said, hey, if I get a job with them, you know. This is smart. This is smart. This is smart. Don't forget. Don't forget. So wonderful. So I will finish with this. So we've got 21 days. I just encourage you just to join in. Look, it doesn't matter if you don't pray an hour, if you do 10 minutes, if you want to do a bit of fasting. If you can't fast from food, you can always fast for a little bit of media or something. Why don't you allow God's priority to become your priority over these 21 days? And we will be so blessed.